Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Good to be with you all. I'll invite you to turn to the back of your bulletin, and we've got some announcements there. Congregational meeting following worship. We invite everyone to come. We invite everyone to participate, whether you're a member or not. Of course, if there are any matters to vote on, only members have that right to vote. If you've worshiped with us as long as you have and you're not a member, we would invite you to become members. We would love to associate fully with you in that way. We may end up having fellowship meal next Sunday. We'll talk about that in these next few days and get back to you on that. You also see there that next week we'll lead worship at the New Haven Care Center, two Saturdays from yesterday, men's breakfast, and then ladies' fellowship. I'll share another announcement with you. We've been in the process these last years of having several men in the training process for officer preparation. One of those men, Eric Humes, interviewed with the session this week, and he was approved to stand for election as ruling elder. Mark Wiese is still in process. He was traveling this week, so we haven't been able to meet with him. We hope to be able to meet with him this week. And Mark has been nominated to serve as a deacon, so we'll be able to give you an update on that matter here, hopefully within the next week or so. Our Book of Church Order requires us to give 30 days notice to a congregation before we have a congregational meeting for the election of officers, so we can be looking for that meeting to be coming up sometime, probably the first part of March, okay? But please continue to pray for our church and pray for those men and for us all. Any other announcements? All right, well, let's encourage one another with this series of announcements that we have in the front of our bulletin, and that is that Christ has come. Christ is crucified. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Throughout our service today, we will be talking about Christ's invitation to us to abide fully in him. He invites us into relationship with him, and as we enter into that relationship and as we experience his goodness and taste of his majesty, a right response is to worship him. Our call to worship today, we see the greatness of the Lord, and then we are moved in our hearts to want to respond to that with worship. From from Colossians 1. We're encouraged, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. For in Him the fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled with Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were crucified with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, forgiving us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. So as we abide, a key aspect of that is remembering the cross. Remembering the cross, being ever mindful of that, and praying to the Lord to keep the scenes of the cross ever before us. Let's stand and make that be our prayer to the Lord again this morning.
Fountain, free to all our healing stream.
The glorious one. Cause us, Lord, to behold you, to worship you always. Lord Jesus, keep us near the cross. Keep us near the cross, but also help us to remember the tomb. Help us to remember that we have died with you. We have died to our old ways of living. We have died to the ways of the world and the flesh. And we have been buried with you. But help us also remember the empty tomb. Help us to remember that the same Spirit that raised you again to new life, you have given to us. You have caused to indwell us. And the same life-giving power that raised you from the dead, you have given to us to cause us to be able to walk in newness of life. Lord, help us to do that more and more, we pray. In Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. Sadly, our minds aren't always focused upon the cross. Sadly, our minds aren't always and our hearts aren't always beholding our God. But we get distracted. We get distracted by lesser things. But the Lord has given us the remedy for that. And that's that we would abide in Him. That we would abide in Him more fully. And in this passage that we have here before us, we see some of the keys of how it is that we can abide in Him fully. And part of it is, if you look at this first paragraph, it's remembering what is true. And it's setting our minds upon those truths. And then living out of those truths. The Apostle Paul writes and says, if you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Here in this passage, Paul reminds us of what is true and encourages us to focus our hearts and our minds upon those things, and then to live in new ways because we have crucified the old self. The old self has been put to death in Jesus Christ. But I don't know about you, but in my life this week, I didn't always and only abide fully with Jesus. I had occasions this week where I had impure thoughts. I had evil desires. I had occasions of anger, of speaking in slander, of making use of obscene talk. And those things, Christ says here, have no place in our lives. And we're to put them away. And we're to put on these new things, this new clothing of a saint, such as compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, and so on. So again, am I the only one here who sinned in these ways this week, this day? But if you recognize that although the Lord has saved you, although He has delivered you from sin and even from the power and the reign of sin in your life, if you recognize that you have had occasions where rather than living out of that fully, you gave yourself over to the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you, like me, say you recognize your need to repent, join me in praying, confessing that to the Lord, and seeking by the power of the Spirit to repent of those things. As we abide in Christ, we remember and we recognize that there are those occasions where we are not living as we ought, not trusting in Jesus as fully as we ought. And we turn from living in those ways, and we remember what he has done for us in Christ. Encouraged in Titus 3 today, that we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, and that we might be enabled to abide in him more fully. Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and for what you have done for us. We thank you for your steadfast loving kindness. We thank you for your patience. Lord, we are so slow to believe, so hesitant so often in our trust of you. Lord, cause your Spirit, cause us to persuade us to believe in you more fully, to give ourselves more fully to you, Lord. Lord, we invite us, you invite us to pray, to ask for anything in your name, and so we do that here this morning again. We do pray for traveling mercies, Lord, for any of those we know and love who are out and about. We pray also for wellness, for healing. We pray for others near to us as well, Lord, for any and everything that may be ailing them and us. I thank you, Lord, for a good report that we received recently. We thank you that you are the God who grieves for us and with us. And Lord, would you do that for us all the more? And Lord, be pleased to use us as we attempt to minister mercy in your name. Lord, would you bring us to tears as we see just the sorrow of our fellow man? Give us love for our neighbors. Love for any and every person, but especially love for our immediate neighbors in Newport Church, and our immediate neighbors where we live, Lord. Grow in us a greater love for you and love for others, we pray. We continue to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord now, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let's give to the Lord and to his purposes.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, Sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can cure. So lay down your burden.
Stand, sing doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Blessings that you give to us. Thank you for dying for our sins and giving us new life. Pray that you would use these gifts for the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Be seated. I invite you to turn to John 15. If you're using the Pew Bible, you can find that on page 901. This morning we'll look at this passage that we've been looking at for several weeks now. This passage where Jesus tells us that He is the true vine and He invites us to abide in Him. In the same way that a branch is connected to a vine, we who trust in Him are connected to Jesus. And just as a branch will wither and die if it's not connected to the vine, to its source of life, so too will we if we're not connected to Jesus, the source of our life. So let's look at this passage again. It's John 15, verses 1 through 17. But before we look at God's word, let's ask for God's help. Lord God, we do pray that you would send your Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us a special measure of your Spirit, Lord, we pray, so that your word will so that your Spirit will accompany your word to make it be effectual in our lives. Lord, this is our prayer. Amen. Okay, so John 15, verses 1 through 17. Again, this is God's holy, living, and inerrant word. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." Amen. Well, a first point to remember as we consider this passage is that we can only hope to abide in Jesus if he first abides in us. We can only abide in him if we've been brought into a saving and indwelling relationship with him through the Lord working saving faith, regenerating faith in us. Those who have been born again, those who've embraced Jesus Christ in faith, have been made to abide in him through being joined to him. Through faith in him, we have been caused to be grafted into him. Jesus is the vine, and we've been grafted into him. We've been joined to him. And in the same way that a branch can be grafted onto a tree to produce a new kind of fruit, in a similar way, we've been grafted into Jesus so that we would have new realities. We've been joined to him. This is what's referred to as our union with Christ. To be a Christian at its essence is to be one who is in union with Jesus. To be a Christian is to be one who abides in Jesus and to be one in whom Jesus abides. Now, how is it that Jesus abides in us? Well, Jesus abides in us. Jesus abides in those who've embraced him in faith through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also rightly referred to as the Spirit of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, has been given to all who trust in Jesus. It's what our assurance of pardon today from Titus 3 was speaking of. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It's Acts 2:38, Peter telling the crowd on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's Ephesians 1:3. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire full possession of it." The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us, in all who trust in Jesus. He has done that for all who have been transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We're told in that passage from Ephesians 1 that the Spirit is the guarantee of all of the promises of God until we acquire full possession of them. One day, we will be with the Lord in fullness. One day, we will truly, fully, personally, really abide with the Father and the Son in body and soul. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a down payment of that promise, of that future reality. And abiding in Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a foretaste of that which we will experience one day. It's a kind of enjoying of the first fruit of the fullness of living completely in the presence of God. Now, the question that we're pondering today is, what does it mean? What does it look like to abide in Jesus? And how do we do that? Let's look at our passage and note the centrality of the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 4 and 5. Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you." Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit." And those references to Christ abiding in us, those are all references of this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus abides in us through the Spirit of Christ abiding in us. We'll talk more about the importance of the Spirit later in the message. Look at verse 3. There we see the importance of the Word in connection with our abiding. Verse 3, Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." Verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." So do you see there the centrality of the word of God in our abiding? The word cleanses us, Christ says here. And the word, yes, has made us clean, but we still yet are in need of an ongoing washing, an ongoing washing of our minds and our hearts through the word. We need to be reminded over and over again of what's true. Consider Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. That sounds a lot like abiding, doesn't it? And again, we see the connection between meditating on the law, meditating on the Word of God, and fruitfulness, which Jesus calls forth for us in John 15. And we need to read the Word of God prayerfully. And with that, we see the centrality of prayer in our abiding. Christ makes reference to prayer in verses 7 and 16 in our passage. Prayer and the Word are to go hand in hand. We read Scripture with an open Bible. We read Scripture saying, "Yes, Lord, may this be. Yes, Lord, cause me to walk in your ways. Yes, Lord, don't let me find satisfaction in anything other than you and that which you want for me." We read the Word of God prayerfully. One thing that's important for us to understand is that abiding requires action on our part. Now, yes, certainly it requires the various ministries of the indwelling Holy Spirit being active in our lives, but don't fail to see how in this passage Christ also calls us to activity. Because don't miss this. Those words of Jesus, "Abide in me," that's a command. It's something that he calls us to apply ourselves to. We're called to live in ways that lead to the Father being glorified in and through his fruit-producing activity in our lives. Again, this call to activity, look at Christ's call to obedience. Look at verses 10 and 12 and 17, where Christ calls us to obey his commands. Again, he is calling us to activity. But there's kind of two sides to this abiding and activity. One way of thinking of abiding is an active resting. We abide in Christ because he's caused us to be made to abide in Christ. But still, we're called to activity. We're called to apply ourselves. We're called to an active resting. Sometimes that takes the form of an active remaining. Some translations translate John 15 as "remain in me" rather than "abide in me." Think of being in a canoe. Sometimes we may be in a canoe on a glass, calm pond, on a day with a complete absence of wind. And it seems like in those circumstances, almost no effort at all is required for us to remain in that position. Other times, though, we have to exert far more effort. And to remain in a certain position requires much effort on our part during times of wind and storms, or when you get caught up in a stream or a river with a strong current. Sometimes it's more abiding is more of a resting. And other times abiding also necessitates action on our part. Let's go back to thinking about the importance and the centrality of the work of the Spirit as it relates to our abiding. In order for us to abide more fully and consistently in Jesus, we must seek to be sensitive to the Spirit's counseling ministry to us. Let me say that again. In order for us to abide more fully and consistently in Jesus, we must seek to be sensitive to the Spirit's counseling ministry to us. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit's inward testimony to us, to help us to see if in that moment we're drawing our life from the true vine, Jesus. In short, whether we're abiding in Him as He desires for us to or not. This is a manifold, okay? And I kind of have to do this upside down, right? A manifold, you have one source that can be diverted into multiple different directions, okay? You get water coming in one end, and you can send it to this hose over here, that hose over there. For this illustration, though, we're going to do it backwards. And this is what can happen in our lives, where different sources seek to enter into our life, okay? And the way a manifold works is you can either have that valve open or closed, okay? Have it opened, and that which is coming from a particular source flows through. Have that closed, and it will not flow through. We are tempted. We wrestle every day with temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? The world tells us your reputation is the most important thing. You deserve a bigger house. You deserve more money. You deserve all the good things in life. And you don't have them, so you shouldn't be satisfied. The flesh tells us, you've got every right to be angry. You should go ahead and lash out at that person because they did you wrong. Or the flesh tells us, you desire to be satisfied. And if you really want to be satisfied fully, you need to have sex be part of the relationship that you're in outside of marriage. And the devil tempts us, that Christianity stuff, it's all just a myth. It's not real. Or I'm not real. Others worship Satan rather than worship Jesus. So we're tempted every day. We have this influx of temptations from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And then we have Jesus, who is the true vine, the source of all life. The Holy Spirit helps us to see whether or from what it is we're drawing our life from. And do we have a full, open onslaught of the world's temptations coming into us? Or the flesh? Are we listening to Satan's lies? Jesus says, say no to those things and say yes to me. Draw your source from me. Here's another thought I had, and I'm sorry if this isn't helpful, but might this make sense? Abiding is also like driving a car. It's important to pay attention as you drive to the gauges. The gauges tell you the health of your car. You need to be monitoring whether or not your car might be in danger of overheating. And you want to check your oil pressure. Do you have warning lights going off about something that's wrong with your engine? Or do you have an indicator that's showing that you have dangerously low tire pressure? The Holy Spirit is like that information panel on your dashboard. He lets us know how we're doing, if things are going well, or if our engine is about to blow. And that's why I say it's important for us to be sensitive to the Spirit's counseling ministry to us. He's speaking to us. He's letting us know how we're doing. The Spirit, one of the roles of the Spirit is to be able to help us realize whether or not we're drawing our life source from Jesus, the true vine, or whether, like that manifold, we're taking in a false source of life, which is really no source of life at all, but instead it's something that's just going to lead to ruin. Or maybe we're just shut off to God, and we're just bored. We're distracted, and we don't pay him any attention at all. Going back to the driving of a car analogy, to abide in Christ is to simply drive straight. But how is it that you drive straight in a car? Do you just grab onto the steering wheel and lock your elbows and not move the wheel at all? No. What do you have to do to drive straight? Right? You're making these corrections. You have to make some mid-course corrections even to drive straight. Even on a flat, dead straight section of highway. But the highway isn't always dead straight flat, is it? But what's going on? You have hills and you have curves. And so if abiding simply means stay in your lane, again, is it just this? Is it not paying any attention to where you're going? But no, as you're approaching the curve, you look into the curve. As you're approaching a hill, you're anticipating what may be on that other side, and you're making these mid-course corrections. To abide is to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading in our lives of those mid-course corrections that are necessary for us. For the last 3 or 4 years, at least, Amy and I have been having an ongoing discussion of what it means to abide. And the first thing that we landed on a couple years ago was that it is to remember. That we must remember what's most true. That we must remember about what's true about the realities of us as those who are in union with Christ. We must remember about what's true of the Father's love for us, that we are now his dearly beloved sons and daughters, and that he has enabled us to live in new ways. And then as we remember those things that are true, we live out of our identity. And that's a good start to what it means to abide. But there's more to that. Turn in your bulletin to that middle page. There where I've got that long passage from Colossians 3. And see what I wrote there on the top of that page? Christ's invitation to us is that we would abide more fully in him. Years ago, this portion of the bulletin simply said, call to confession. There's so much more to life. Yes, it is important for us to see our sin and to confess that sin. But there's so much more to the Christian life than just that. And that more of the Christian life is to enjoy a life of fully abiding in Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? Well, look what I've got written down here. Stop, remember, believe, grieve, rejoice, repent, and then continue on in renewed faith, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Abiding in Christ includes stopping. Again, this is being sensitive to the Spirit's counseling ministry to us. The Spirit pricks our conscience and says to us, no, child, not that. Don't live in those ways. You're looking to draw your life from something other than the Lord. And so we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's urging as He encourages us to make those mid-course corrections. We stop and we recognize that we're not in that moment enjoying and abiding completely in Jesus, and we're diverted to something less than Him. And then, as I said earlier, we remember. We remember what's most true about us as a redeemed child of God. And with the Spirit's enablement, we believe again. We get grounded again in the truths of Scripture, in the truths of who we are and what we are and what God calls us to, enables us to do. And we believe the gospel afresh again. And now these things don't always necessarily happen in the same order that I'm proposing to you here in the bulletin. But I think that it's important that we find ourselves doing each of these things at some point, again with the Spirit's help, enable for us to abide more fully in Jesus. And we grieve. We grieve as we recognize, Jesus, how slow of heart I am to believe. Lord, again? I'm going back to this thing again? I'm going back to this website again? I'm living in these ways of hatred again? I'm angry with my wife. I'm angry with my children again? We grieve that. And we ask the Lord to give us the heart of Christ over that matter, and to give us the heart of Christ for that person with whom we're so angry. And we recognize that the Lord gave His life for that person as well. And therefore, I have no right to have a murderous attitude towards that person in my heart. We grieve, but then we also rejoice, remembering again who we are and who the Lord is and His love for us and what He's delivered us from. We rejoice in the way that that prodigal son rejoiced as he returned to the embrace of his father. And we repent. To abide is to live in daily, ongoing repentance and renewed faith. We ask ourselves with the Spirit's prompting, where am I not finding fullness of joy and a sense of love from Jesus? What other sources am I attempting to draw life from? What are those things that are competing with me, even temporarily winning out over Jesus in that moment? And to abide more fully in Jesus, we must live in this cycle of repentance and renewed faith every day. Brothers and sisters, we don't just repent once or twice a year when we've committed some sin that we consider to be an awful big sin. And no, don't be satisfied with just repenting once or twice a month over something that maybe in the past you really wouldn't have even taken notice of, but now you see its odiousness. But to abide fully in Jesus, in this way that Jesus invites us to in John 15, we must engage in repentance and renewed faith over and over throughout every day. And let's remember a couple of things about repentance. Repentance is a turning away from and a turning to something else. It's a turning away from unrighteousness and a turning to righteousness. It's a turning away from sin and a turning again to Jesus. It's also a turning away from unbelief and lack of trust. And it's a turning again to a renewed trust. It's a turning away from boredom with God and lack of interest in living a Christian life. And it's a turning back to enjoying your salvation. You've got a bulletin insert. This page, take a look at that if you would. This is something that Amy put together some time ago. The Lord's given Amy some really amazing insights into many aspects of the Christian life, including in no small way the ability of how to find an amazing husband. But she has also been given many other wonderful insights from the Lord. And again, Amy and I have been having this conversation for these last years about what it means to abide in Jesus, how one can find a truly satisfying life in Christ, breaking free from destructive and unproductive ways of living and thinking. And she's been putting her mind to these matters for many years. And the Lord's been blessing that ministry of hers that she's been providing, especially to women both inside and outside of the church, in addition to a writing ministry. But take a look at this page. It's two sides. And just look at some of these questions. And can you see how asking yourself these questions and asking the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit these questions, can you see how that can result in that mid-course correction that I'm talking about? Where am I not focusing upon the Lord? What are the things of this life, this world, that have a priority over my heart right now? What am I believing other than the gospel? And then look under, on that first page under fall, naming brokenness honestly. She has a second, a third bullet point. What do I need to lament before the Lord? And Amy's come up with this acronym with the letters that spell out Christ. And look at that. She encourages us to cry out to the Lord. To cry out to the Lord in an honest, humble complaint. That's what one does in lament. And then to repent, to turn away from unbelief, from not trusting fully, to turn away from wrong thinking. And then to employ introspection and to really consider how you're living in that moment, your thoughts, your emotions, and so on. And then the S of Christ, supplication. Ask the Lord for his help. And then T, to trust in him more fully, to ask the Spirit to enable you to do that, to trust in Jesus and to trust in his promises, to trust in those things that the Bible says are most true. Friends, these are just various ways that we can come to abide more fully. We've now spent 3 weeks looking at this passage, and I feel like we've only scratched the surface. I've provided this encouragement to this church for many years, and I'll encourage you with the same again. Dedicate the rest of your life to understanding the answer to this question of what does it mean to abide in Jesus? Dedicate the rest of your life to learning what that looks like and what that entails. And if you do, you will not be disappointed. But instead, as Jesus promises in this passage, you will know his love fully. And he will give you his joy so that your joy may be full. Pray with me. Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you abide in us through the Spirit of Christ given to us. We thank you, Spirit, that you have been given to us as a promise, a down payment on every promise of God that is made in Scripture. You're a down payment, a first fruit of a full enjoyment, of enjoying a full abiding that we'll one day have with you, Father and Son and Spirit, in the new heavens and new earth, where we will dwell with you personally, bodily. Lord Jesus, you are the true vine. Lord, in the manifold of our life, turn off by the power of your Spirit all those competing sources that promise to give life, but in the end only give death. Lord Jesus, may our valve always be open to you. And Lord, cause us to be sensitive to the counseling ministry of the Holy Spirit to us. Spirit, show us those areas in our life where we're missing the mark, where we're not trusting more fully in Jesus, where we doubt the goodness of our Father, where we've gotten bored and disinterested. Reveal those things to us and cause us to stop and remember and believe again and grieve and rejoice and repent and then continue on again in renewed faith. Lord, may that be something that happens in our life over and over and over each and every day as we live our lives abiding in you, Jesus, empowered by your Holy Spirit. But Lord, to do this, we need your help. Cause your Spirit to be great in us. Give us sensitivity to his leading in our lives. And Lord, strengthen our faith. Do that even through this meal which we are about to partake of. Lord, take these common elements of bread and juice and set them apart for your holy purposes, Lord, so that it would strengthen our faith, so that we would then abide in you more fully. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'll call the elders forward as we prepare to take communion. In verse 12 and 13, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends." We're reminded of the words of Paul in Romans 5, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We started the service today singing the song, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross." I said that's an important aspect of our abiding, that we have the scenes of the cross ever before us. And in the cross, as we see Jesus there, we recognize our need, and we recognize that we deserve to be the one who is hung on that tree. But we recognize that his death fully satisfied God's righteous wrath. And because that has been satisfied, poured out upon Jesus, the Father instead chose to pour out upon us mercy and grace upon grace, including through and with the Holy Spirit. On that night when Jesus was betrayed, the very night that he spoke these words of John 15, a little bit earlier, he shared a meal with his friends. And at that meal, he took bread and he broke it after giving thanks. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you." Likewise, also, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins." And he said, "Take, drink, as often as you do in remembrance of me, take, eat, and drink. Find my provision sufficient for you." His life, his perfect life, sinless life, lived in our place. And then his death, offering himself up in payment for our sins. These things were necessary so that we might have this fully reconciled relationship with the Father through the Son and the work of the Spirit applying it to us. In a moment, we'll pass out the elements. I'll remind you, the outermost ring of the liquid is juice. The inner two rows are wine. And then the innermost crackers are gluten-free. And then the others are regular. Take as you desire. Please hold for all our service. In our passage, Jesus says that any branch that does not bear fruit will be cut off and thrown into the fire. Jesus Christ gave himself to be cut off from the land of the living so that you never will be, but instead so that you could abide in him always. Receive that enablement. The Lord gives to us his body and blood and spirit. Thank you. Let's continue to seek to abide in him as we find our rest. In just a minute, you'll be dismissed. We'll need a few minutes then to get ready for the congregational meeting. If anyone brought any food, feel free to grab it real quick or even to bring it in. Do what you need to do. Again, we invite everyone here to stay for that meeting if you would like and if you're able. But first, receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of God the Son and the love of God the Father and the abiding fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be yours now and forevermore. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
God bless you all. Wonderful to be with you.